Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh met with the media to discuss Ravens first-round pick Malachi Starks.
We are happy to take Malachi Starks. He's a player that we've seen over the last couple of years, a great football player at a great football program, wired like a Raven, great mentality, probably one of the most impressive interviews we've ever had at the Combine. Ball hawk, he's a physical guy, he's a very, very good tackler. And I was reminded that the last time we took a Starks in the first round, he ended up intercepting a pass in the Super Bowl. So hopefully that ends up happening again. Questions?
Eric, with Malachi, and you kind of touched upon the interview at the Combine. Was there anything else that kind of stood out throughout the draft process that kind of made you and kind of stand out to you?
You know, I just think that as we go back and look at our very best players, they're just wired a certain way. They play a certain way consistently. And throughout the process, Malachi was a guy that just really passed every single test. We have, you know, as far as football GPA, very, very high production as a player, durability, ability, everything really. It just made a lot of sense for us to take him.
John, have you already started to kind of visualize what your defense looks like, especially now teaming him up with Hamilton, who also does a variety of things?
We have. I think when you look at Malachi on tape, and you guys have seen him, I'm sure, all the different positions he plays. He plays both safeties, plays nickel, he plays the dime linebacker spot, which is what Kyle does, which is what Adarius does, and then Marlon plays inside and outside. So the ability to move all those pieces around and get him in different positions is pretty exciting. The other thing is, you know, Eric kind of just mentioned this, but when we first came out of the season, we had a conversation about just the type of mindset that we were looking for and the guys we were going to bring in. And to me, Malachi, he fits that perfectly. You know, he's smart. He's tough. He loves football. He loves everything about football. And you saw it when he walked up the stage. I saw it when he walked. You guys see it when he walked down the hallway there and out to the stage? It looked like he was coming through the tunnel for game day. He's ready to go, you know. And I think he's just excited to be a Raven as we are excited to have him be a Raven.
Did your phone ring? Did you consider moving back at all up? Was Starks a target all along? And how busy was that time when you were on the clock?
Well, you know, I think that as we looked at this draft, you know, the first round, we kind of got a sense for most of the players that were going to get picked in front of us. And we had maybe three or four players that we thought might have a realistic chance of being there when we picked. The phone started ringing. We had some opportunities to trade back. In the end, you have to look at, you know, the excitement of actually getting some additional picks, which we do love, versus, you know, what kind of player you're going to get potentially. And, you know, for me, maybe I'm getting older and just, you know, a little bit more conservative than I used to be. But, you know, I think looking at the quality of player that we had with Starks versus what we might have to get, it didn't make enough sense for me. This was a guy that really checked every single box for us in a lot of different ways. There were some other players that we coveted as well. But in the end, he was by far the best guy available for us when we made the pick.
Were you surprised at how things kind of happened with so many guys that were linked to you or you thought could be a good fit here in Baltimore?
You know, I really wasn't surprised by the way this draft kind of unfolded. You know, in fact, I think that in a lot of cases, I kind of knew which players were going to get picked, generally speaking. And that was one of the reasons why, for me, that I was nervous this year in the first round. I was kind of nervous that we weren't going to get a chance to get a player like Malachi, just because this is what I would refer to as a flat draft. And so you have, you know, probably 10 players that everybody puts up there, and then it really flattens out, and it stays that way. It's going to stay that way in the second and third and fourth round. So from that standpoint, it's a really good draft if you have a lot of picks because it's flat in the middle. But that being the case, you know, there were really just a few players that we thought we might have a chance to get. And fortunately, we got one of those guys.
Eric or John, I think GMs and coaches, some of them have talked about how hard it is to evaluate safeties just in general. Is there anything that you guys maybe weight more or less when you are doing that evaluation at that specific position?
Go ahead, John.
I don't think it's that hard to evaluate safeties. I mean, The guy's running around making plays all over the field. You know, we've done pretty well with those guys. And, man, we've missed on guys just like everybody else. But, I mean, he's a very versatile player. You know, he covers people man-to-man. He comes up and tackles people. He's in zone. He plays nickel zone responsibility, which is really kind of tricky, you know. He's got a good feel for that. In the deep middle, you know, he's got range. So he showed ball skills. He showed all the things. And then you kind of put on top of that the mentality that we talked about, the mindset, kind of the football character, I guess you could call it. The guy just loves to be out there, and he loves to play. He can't wait to hit the grass. And to me, that's been a good recipe for success, really kind of no matter what the position is. But he looks like a safety to me. We'll see. But I bet he'll prove us right.
John, you touched on this a little bit, but last year with Kyle Hamilton, you had to play him a little more split safety second half of the year. Not just getting a player that starts as talented mm-hmm. as he is, but being able to maybe free up Hamilton to be as versatile as he can be. I mean, how important is that for your defense?
It definitely gives us that option. You know, and it's not to say that Kyle won't be back there, because he will be, but the good news is, like, the offense isn't going to know who's going to be back there on any given play. They're not going to be able to line up and say, okay, Kyle's going to be deep, you know, or even Ardarius is going to be deep. Ardarius, all three of those guys could be on the field a lot. Or Marlon. Marlon can go back and play deep if we wanted him to. But really now it's those three guys, you know, as interchangeable parts, playing any one of those four positions in there. That's pretty exciting.
Eric, I'm sure you had, a bunch of guys, obviously. How important, and specifically with defense, in that attention and getting a guy right away.
Yeah, so we didn't go into it, you know, thinking that we'd take a defensive player. You know, we were going into it thinking we're going to take the best football player we can take. And, you know, there were some guys on the offensive side of the ball, too, that got picked. And there were a few really good players that were still there when we picked Malachi. But, you know, I think generally speaking, we want to be a balanced drafting team. You know, we want both sides of the ball to be really strong. And so, you know, we're fortunate this draft, as I said, we have a lot of opportunities in the couple days to get some good players. And I think you'll see us fill some needs, take some really good football players, and hopefully hit on a bunch of guys.
Eric Kidd is a high-level starter at one of the best programs in the country for 3 years. I mean, does that always give you more confidence that a guy will step right on the field and help?
I think so. I mean, you know, one thing that I've learned from Ozzie, I mean, over the years, you look at some of our best picks, and they're big school guys, SEC, you know, Big Ten, you know, Pac-10 back in the day, guys like that, experienced guys from winning programs. That's a big deal. That's important. And that's something that we definitely look for. I mean, let's face it, you know, the SEC is if not one, I mean, probably one, but one or two in terms of the best football conferences in the country. And this is a guy that's won national championships and played at a very high level. That's important.
You guys keep your draft plans so close to the vest. Were you, I don't know if concern's the right word, but were you aware of just, I mean, there's so much talk that you love Starks. And, you know, ESPN said that he was your ideal pick. Did that make you at all uncomfortable during this week?
You know, it did. Again, like, I sort of, like, handicap it and model this thing out, and I figured, like, okay, well, you know, if Starks gets picked, you know, and there's going to be another player there. We had a few players that we really liked. But, yeah, you know, it was kind of weird to just always consistently seeing us, you know, tied to him. I mean, there were a few other players, too. In the end, I think it's just it fell for us, and we're lucky that it did. But I can promise you that if somebody else had been there, the right player, that we would have taken him, and I believe he'd be a really good player for us.
Because of, you know, you sound like you did like Starks. Was there any thought about possibly trading up at all?
You know, I'm not really, you know, I feel like you guys ask me this question every year. I'm not a big believer in trading up. I just don't think that the data supports that, generally speaking. You know, we always look at it potentially. And again, I think it's assessing what other teams are going to do. It's kind of the flow of the draft. As you get to, you know, we're picking 27. As you get to, say, 18 or 19, that's when you might consider trading up, probably. But then you look at the players that are still there, and you start looking at each pick, and every time a player gets taken outside your range or out of your sequence, you're like, okay. And you finally get to the point where we're like, okay, there's three or four guys. We don't have to trade up. We're going to get one or three or four of these guys. We feel happy with all these guys, and we're good to go. So when that happens, you know, you're at peace. It's a good place to be.
You said it was one of the best combine interviews you've ever done or had with a player. What does that look like? And what is it that impresses you so much in that setting?
I just think it was remarkable, you know, the way that he could discuss football, his awareness, his ability to call out the plays from their defense before we even showed the plays, just based on formation, his ability to dissect and talk about what happened in any given play and to know what his teammates were doing in any given play. I mean, it was like he was a coach. And, you know, we just, when he got up, we just were all kind of like looking at each other, and we, you know, we use a grading scale. We grade every interview, and a seven is the best, and across the board, he got straight sevens. So it was just super impressive. I haven't seen that type of detail in a long time.
You said you had a really good feel for how this first round was going to break. Do you feel that for the second and third rounds as well, or is that a little bit more wait and see?
Yeah, you know, it really drops off. I mean, my prognostication ability falls off a cliff when you get into the second and third round, I think, because, you know, I mean, you guys cover the first round, right? Everybody covers the first round, the media, and there's so much mocking now and all these different things and social media and just, you know, generally speaking, I've said, as I said before, like the first rounds nowadays are a lot less unpredictable than they used to be. Now you might get one or two picks that kind of go rogue, but, you know, now everything's fairly predictable. Like our list of top 32 players, you're going to see 30 players drafted off that list right now. So, but when you get to the second round, that's where you start to see the deviation and you start to see random players and you start to see slippage in your sequence when players, random players get picked. So now you might see, you know, a player that we have rated at like 110 get picked at 42. And then we start high-fiving and then we're laughing. Like, we can't believe he took that guy. And that guy might end up in the Pro Bowl, you know. But that's just the nature of the draft. As you get into these rounds now, and you see a lot of really differences in your sequences.
John, anything you can add to that interview process that stood out to you about Malachi in addition to just football IQ?
No, I mean, it's a 15-minute interview, but he's smart. He knew the defense, but just the fact that he was a Red Star guy, I think, kind of tells the story. You guys have heard that here, and you look at the board, and there he is with a Red Star sitting next to his name. And then the room, you know, the way the scouts felt about him once we picked him, you know, they were, like, jacked. You know, and they know this guy better than anybody, so, yeah.
They don't always clap upstairs. They clap this year, so, you know, that tells you how excited the scouts were.
Well, sometimes they always clap, but sometimes it's a smatter.
Sometimes it's, you know, like a little bit of, like, one of these kind of claps.
Right, right.
Eric, how much changes now when you get your guy, your Red Star guy, quickly for you into tomorrow? Do you change a lot more when you kind of get maybe your slam dunk on day one?
I mean, I think we just have to. Now, what I have to do tomorrow morning is come in and restack. And that's a process where, you know, it's painful because there may be some other really good safeties, right? And we could still take one. But the reality of it is there's, like, some really good safeties in this draft. And so, you know, you have to now kind of look at it and be like, well, we're not going to take six safeties, you know. So there's going to be some really good safeties for somebody else. We got the best one. Somebody else is going to probably get the second best one is what it amounts to. And we'll find other guys that are in those same clumps very close and find the best guys in those clumps that we can use in different ways.
Eric, I think it's like the ninth time that you've selected a defensive back in the first round, you know, in straight. Do you think it's just the way that sometimes the board has fallen over the years, or do you feel like there is an investment, there is a priority placed kind of in the secondary for this team?
Well, I mean, you know, usually four or five guys are playing in the secondary in any given play, so you got more guys. But secondly, you know, in my experience, like if you're going to lose a game, an easy way to lose it is by having a bad secondary. So, you know, we never want to be in that position. That's a bad place to be. And so, you know, we're going to have a strong secondary. I know, and John was a secondary coach in Philly for a while too. He understands the importance of it as well. And I really appreciate that because, you know, I think it's a really important, critical part of your defense.
I also heard he played a little bit at Miami, Ohio.
Well, that's to be determined. We need to see the tape.
Just out of curiosity, there was a giraffe in the background of the draft room. Was that planned? Whose idea was that? Is that
the
first year he's been in there? I'm just curious.
There's actually a great story behind that.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, there's certain things we can discuss and there's certain things we can't. But that giraffe has been in there for a long, long time. That was my son, Michael, who's now 17. That was a gift to him when he was born. And I got the idea years ago because we were talking to the scouts, and I'm saying, guys, you know, the best scouts stand on the table. They stick their necks out. And it just popped into my brain. I had this old giraffe back at home, and so one day I brought it in, and we put it in the draft room as a reminder for these guys to, if they really like somebody, to stand up on the table and stick their necks out. All right, guys. See you tomorrow.